All right. We had to hear the story. What happens if you have an advertisement? I know in Panama, but in America, it's very common that we have advertisements on billboards, we have advertisements on in the papers and commercials. And what they advertise, big sign. 30% off, 40% off, 50% off, half price. And in fine print, very small letters, it says for the first 10 customers. You're driving on the road, you see a big sign, 50% off for this week, and in very small letters, you can't even see it for the first 10 customers, first 100 customers, for on select products, not on the whole store, only on a certain type, only on Mondays. So you have a big advertisement that's attracting you to come to the store. And then you have like these small letters that...
Everybody does that.
Yeah.
That's pretty common.
What we call is fine print. It's so small, you know. Yeah, you can't see it. Yeah, in a newspaper, big advertisement. And in the bottom, when you put on your reading glasses, you can see it says in the bottom, you know, only if you're black. So then what do you do? Right? So... these type of advertisements, what's the halacha? And they have, whether it be only on certain products, certain lines, only with certain conditions. So we have a halacha in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to clean up, you're not allowed to select the top payers, the top items, the top fruit of your basket when you're a merchant. You're trying to sell the fruit, and you just clear off the top to make the top nice, and that you're not allowed to do. And in the Dibrot Moshe, if you look, I don't know if the Olam had time to see, it's a long one. I really only wanted to see the beginning and the end, but I don't know, somehow that got lost in the printing. But if you look in the Dibrot Moshe, he says a chidush. He says that even if, when the person's going to finally come to your store, he's going to see that only the top is good fruit and the bottom is not good, and he's going to know not to buy the bottom, he'll know what to do, he'll know what he's getting into. It means he's not going to be fooled when he buys it. By the time he buys it, he's not going to know exactly what he's getting into. Still, Ramesha says it's also. Why? Because there was a false advertising to get him to the store. He was drawn to the store b'mirma, with sheker. He was drawn. So any type of advertisement that you do, if the advertising causes you to be drawn b'sheker, because big advertising, small letters. So you're right. When he finally gets to the store, they're going to say, and he already picks out three suits, and he's ready. He's so happy he's going to get a half price. They say, sorry, today's Tuesday. It's only sales on Monday. So he's going to know then whether he's going to buy it or not, but it's too late. He already was drawn to the store. So like, it didn't. Had he known, he would have gone to a different store.
For goyim also.
Well, there's a whole different child if we have to do Geneva Tat for goyim.
So, in a way, but
now look, if you move, when you buy $100, you get a US dollar. I don't know.
Right.
But you put down there, we only have 500. I mean,
right, so the same thing. If you're going to be drawn to the store, the sheker, the gneve dat, it's going to be awesome.
We have the US dollar.
It's not sheker, Rabbi. It's not sheker. It's there.
If you could see it. Like, for some reason, the sign that says Mivtza, that it's a sale for 50% off, is in big letters, and this is like tiny.
But if you put it in
like this.
Yeah, if you could do it, then you could see it, you would say
And for the goyim.
Goyim is a whole different, I don't want to get it right now.
That's very important.
If you put a t-shirt, you have 1 million t-shirts.
Okay. Again, are you expecting to run out of t-shirts or not? Expecting to do it, it'll be fine. Okay. Another case.
Even if everyone does that, and the customer already knows that, there are a lot
of people who also steal. That doesn't make stealing mutar. Right?
They're asking if you can do a little bit higher.
Oh, fine, I'll try, but if you shut the door, I won't have competition with the hallway. It'll be a little better.
Everyone
tastes it, so then they know before. But here we're talking about that by the time, so to speak, I taste it, by the time I get to the store, it's too late. I was already drawn to the store. If I give candies, you have a child. If I give candies out, the Mishnah says I can give candies. I didn't fool you. You know what you're getting. You're getting a candy, and you're happy to get a candy and come to the store. That's fine. But if you faked out to come to the store, that's goofy. Gnevatat. Another story. What happens if you have a product and there's a whole photographer, there's a whole chokhmah, how to take pictures and how to display on the internet
and it's called marketing.
Marketing, yeah, very good. But what you do is very good. Sometime what you do, so called marketing. The Chofetz Chaim says what people call, if I'm not mistaken, his words are what people call hishtadlut v'zridzut is lahalacha gnevadat. Yeah. So you have to be careful. Marketing doesn't mean can make a mutu. You have to know if it's mutu marketing, it's mutu. If it's also marketing, it's also. Okay. So now what happens if you take a picture? One second. You take a picture of a product that you know that the product only looks good on one side of the product. I have to give a marshal, but we had once with an awning in the backyard, an awning over a porch. Only one side looks good. The other side really doesn't look good. So you conveniently only show the side in the picture of the advertisement of the good side, and all the buyers assume that the other side looks just the same. It's a expectation everyone's allowed to have. It's supposed to look like sort of the same. And when it gets there, all of a sudden, he says, one second, that side's nice. What?
They will send it back.
Send it back. No, but the word is, if you got me to go to your store, you are moishek me, or even if I buy it and I've sent it, you're being moishek, you're drawing me shalei kedin. That's the dibrat moishek, and Moshe says it's awesome. Well, another case.
If you sell wine, and you put a big sign in the wine store, and you put in
water, but everyone tastes it. Everyone
before they taste it.
Good.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, but if it's becheskas, yeah, but by an awning, the marshal is not becheskas. The other side is bad.
No, but the fine print is becheskas. Is it more to the store?
Not always. Not everyone has fine print.
Like you said, why make it fine?
Yeah, I'm just saying that. But not everyone has it like that. Let me give you a case. Another advertisement. Yeah.
Rav Moshe's answer that if you say 50% and only in selected merchandise, is there any heter to do it?
I'm telling you, if you put it a little bigger letters that the person could see it right away, so they say that. I want to tell you, there's a commercial in America, another story. There's a true commercial. I don't know, do you have Bayer aspirin in Panama? Bayer aspirin?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, what?
Yes.
In America, there's a commercial that goes like this. In the background, you hear noise of a pounding headache. Boom, boom, boom. Okay? And then all of a sudden, a voice comes on and says, Bayer aspirin, the number one selling medication in America. Okay? And the commercial ends. So now, everyone walks off the commercial thinking that what? The Bayer aspirin is the number one selling medication for headaches. The truth be told, Bayer aspirin is garbage. I don't say that, but it's not Tylenol, it's not Advil, for headaches. But the reason why it's the number one selling medication in America, it is the number one selling, but for heart. It's a blood thinner. Aspirin is a blood thinner. So for heart, it's the number one selling medication in America.
Okay. Deceiving.
It's deceiving. That's Gnevadat. Right? Because the person walks off thinking that you have a container of orange juice. True story. Container of orange juice here in America, it says you can't pick a better juice. So you read the thing, what do you think? It's the best orange juice. Truth of the matter is they all come from the same farms.
You know, like he's thinking his juice is the best.
Right, but it's not the best. They're all the same. But you can't pick a better juice. You can't pick a better one because they're all the same. Right?
They can't pick from another place.
It's a pick is like from the lotion from oranges, but they advertise you can't pick a better juice to imply that it's the best juice, when in truth it's not the best juice. They're all the same. They come from the same farms in Florida.
That's the truth.
If you advertise in a way that...
That way.
So this way, the only reason why some people want to say this is mutar, because everyone knows when you write best and better, it's nothing. But if you advertise in a way that another, a friend of mine was once giving shir in Passaic on Gnevadat. In the middle of the shir, they pass around cookies, and they have it in the case. And on the packaging, I don't want to say which company it is, but on the packaging it says home baked. Here's a company who's making cookies, and they're printing on the packaging is home baked. To steer out. How could you have a company making home baked? Right? That's what are you doing? So you have to say that it means that it's like home baked. It's the taste of home baked. Right? Okay. There's a very important machloikis, achroinim, gedoyle achroinim. What which the Olam probably saw. The halacha is that you can't take basar, you can't take meat and soak it to make it look white and make it look robust and greasy and make it look fresh and strong. So you can't do it. But if the minhag is that everyone does it... If you hold, if everyone does it, so the Sma says, then it's mutter. Why?
I don't get it. The whole world now is in Genevat Dat. All the marketing is based on Genevat Dat. That's the best marketing.
You cannot start it.
One second. Let me just
again. You need to speak a little bit about Goyim.
No, but Goyim, no, it's a bit
of a Goyim, no, maybe Goyim, there is something else.
Dice la Pequemara que me la data la Goyim.
Ah? You are going, and he got angry. He estaba bravo.
There's a smile, the smile says if the minhag is everyone does it, it's mutter. And what's the reason? Even though the Shulchan Aruch said it's asur, is because in the Shulchan Aruch it wasn't the minhag, so Mamela, what was going on? Really, what was going on? He was trying to cover over the defect and show you that it really is good when it really wasn't good. He's trying to deceive you, so that's a problem. But since everyone does it, and since everyone knows not to rely on the color, because whether it's fresh or not fresh, it will still look white, because everyone does it, so the Sma says, so no one's being fooled to think it's fresh, because everyone knows that even the not fresh items also look the same. That's the Sma.
In case of the 50%, everybody knows that they have to be...
If there is fine print. One second, let me just... The Ramosha explains, Ramosha explains a little more. Ramosha says, because what's the lumdus? What's really happening? What's really happening is all you're doing is taking away the raya that there was something wrong, and now you're leaving it in the minds of the lokeach as a safek. So if the lokeach is makpid, if he's upset, he wants dafka, fresh meat, he'll ask you, is it fresh? Because he knows not to rely on the color, because the color is no longer an indication. So he's going to ask you, I want fresh meat, I don't need fresh meat. He'll ask you, and if he doesn't bother asking you, he's willing to accept the safek, even if it's not fresh. However, the Divrei Malkiel argues vehemently with the Sma, and holds this is mamish asur, it's geneva dat, to try to take away all the indications, to take away all the rayas of the mum, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, which the Olam probably saw, goes like that as well. If he brings out the day on Materis, he says you should know Shema Nafsha Yerachik Miza. You should stay away from this. You should not be doing this. So now you have a machloket, Sma, and many achrayim against the different makil in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, where the Shulchan Aruch Harav sides with that you should be machmir, that you should stay away. Again, yesh v'yesh, it's a machlokes. But even in the svar of the Ramosha was only because I'm leaving the buy with the thought that it's still 50-50. It could go this way, it could go that way. And the buy is makpid. He'll ask. What's the importance? You have a story like this. I know in Panama, in America, it's like this. You go for an interview. A lady who goes for an interview, if she's pregnant, she doesn't really have a good chance to get the job. Because you're coming. A teacher, can you imagine? I get a teacher, and 3 months into the year, she's out for six labor. Weeks, 8 weeks for the child labor. What am I going to do? She can get a substitute. The whole class is that. I have so many other
options
of employees. I'll get somebody else. So what does she do? She comes to and she makes sure to wear a dress that she hides that she's pregnant, so no one can know that she's pregnant or not. And that's how she goes into the interview. Is this mutar or asur?
Mutar. You can ask her. You're pregnant.
Okay. So like this.
So,
which is impossible. So according, according to the Divrei Malkiel, it would be asur because you're hiding a defect. You have a defect and you're hiding it. Now, even though the employer still has a safek, maybe you're pregnant, maybe not, but you're hiding a defect, so that would be asur. According to the Sma, l'chore, it should be mutar. But the problem is, Rabotai. Why? Because
he has a fake. He has no reason to think that you're pregnant.
Why? Someone who's 3 months pregnant, you can't tell anyway. till she's become hookah ubra, she might be 2 months pregnant, right? And no one will ever know, even if she's wearing a regular dress. No one could know. So it's possible she's pregnant. It's very possible she's pregnant. So therefore, according to the Sma, l'chayr should be mutar. However, here's the catch here in America. Rav Moshe seems to say like the Sma, but only with an added nakuda, that the employer, whoever the other side is, the buyer, could always ask if he's makbid. In America, it's illegal. It's asur lefi achok. It's illegal to ask someone at an interview if she's pregnant. It's discrimination.
So it's asur.
So therefore, now it's asur to ask. So now you have to know, do you have the head of Rav Moshe? Because if he can't ask, then I'm back maybe to the different makil. It should be asur. Maybe. Maybe. Or maybe Dina Malchuta, Dina says that you're supposed to hire even people who are pregnant.
The other day was a rabbi in U.S. Shigur, and he said, hey, there were 3 or 4 boys, they say, I have a good shigur of Shalom Bay here, the city is there, buy it. So we went there, there were 2 kids only, and there were 20 more.
20 more?
All other topics. So we buy the group, and then the other one took another city. And also talking about the same thing.
Yeah, okay. Another thing, what happens if you have a house, that the house had a leak, or that the car, or let's say you have a car and there's rust on the car. You're selling your used car and there was rust on the outside. So what you do is you sand it down, you get someone to sand it down and paint it very nicely. Now, when the buyer gets it, the buyer sees that he knows it's an old car. He sees that diamond is 60,000 miles. He's not fooled. He knows it's an old car and he knows that you freshly painted it. What he doesn't know is that underneath the paint is rust. So you are covering over a mum. So again, that will be in the machloket, the sma with the different makiel, because according to the sma, he knows it was just freshly painted, so he shouldn't rely on the paint, because he doesn't know what condition it's in. But according to different makiel, you're hiding a defect. So that will be asur. You have a house that had a leak from the roof or in the basement, moisture, and has water marks, so you paint it over, a freshly painted house, you tell the guy, I just painted it. He knows the house wasn't built today when he sells the house. He knows it's freshly painted, but you just covered over a possible defect, so like the sma, it could be mutter. According to Divrei Malkiel, it'll be also. What happens if in America, probably in Panama, it's the same thing. What they do is they take packaging. It's a whole chokma marketing how to package things. So what they do is they take a bag of potato chips. The bag is like this, big and fluffy. You open it up, there's maybe a third of the bag is filled. Right? What happened? They just pumped it up with air. Air is free. Air is cheap.
Outside it says how many ounces.
Yeah, it says how many ounces, right. But when you say how many ounces, you see a big bag, right? Right? A box of cereal. Yeah, back cereal. Then you open the bag, you see the bag. The bag only takes 3/4 of the bag. So when you open the bag, it's only 3/4 of the bag. It's filled with cereal. So at the end, like half the box has cereal and the rest is empty, right? What is that? So the same thing, what you're doing is you falsely giving an impression to a buyer that there's more there than there really is. He thinks he's getting a whole bag. So Grada, the only way out is to say that, hey, yois, the minhag is that everyone pumps up the bags, fluff, and they have an excuse. The reason why they pump up the bag is that the paychip shouldn't get crushed. So they pump it up, so okay, fine. But the problem is they do it on everything. They want cereal, they do it on a lot of things that they're not worried about being crushed. So if the minhag is to do it, so then you could have maybe the heter of the sma that everyone knows not to rely on the size of the packaging. But if you don't have that, it means you go like the divrei makil, even that's going to be asur.
Rabbi, according to the sma, the case of the pregnant woman, everyone doesn't know if
she's pregnant, or not.
She's going to hide it or not.
Right, so she doesn't know. It's a safek. So according to the sma, I don't have to say. But according to the divrei makil, you have to say because you're covering over a mum. Another story. I don't know if the Olam knows about this, but in America, when you get it, become a chatan, you buy a diamond ring for the kala, right? So you go to a store, you're happy, you're getting this diamond ring, special diamond ring that's showing the bond, the zivug between you and the kala. Unbeknownst to the chatan and the kala, this diamond is a used diamond. What happened? There was somebody who had this diamond 80 years ago, she got it for her katuna, and she died. And what they do, the Yerusha, the inheritance, they go and they sell the diamonds. And then the new person takes, polishes it over, and sells it to the next kala. Now, if I would know that this diamond is already 80 years old and used by some old lady, I wouldn't buy the diamond for my kala. I want a new diamond. Now, truth be told, the mevinim in the business, those who know the business knows that there's no difference between an old diamond and a new diamond. Diamonds are forever. That's the expression. The name, but that's the expression, right? But there's no difference. There's no difference in the quality of the diamond. But if I would know about it, I think there is a difference. I am the hamoinam. The people think there is. So what I'm doing is I'm polishing it over, giving him a new diamond as if it's a brand new diamond. He doesn't realize that it's an old one. So I'm sort of saving him from his mistaken notion. He thinks that there's a difference. There really is no difference. Can I do that or not?
Maybe the store owner even doesn't know.
The store owner doesn't know. Maybe, maybe not. Sometimes they do because they know where they buy the diamonds from. They buy that from the people who repolish it.
Wasted a new diamond?
It's a not. A, he asked for a diamond. He asked for a new diamond. He asked for a diamond. He thinks he's. Now, Rav Moshe has a case with the dying with the white hair. You have somebody. The halacha is that an eved can't dye his hair white because it shows that he's young. Sorry, can't dye his hair black. Yes, white hair. Dying his black because it shows that he's young and strong and more robust and healthy to do the job.
There's a difference between a strong one and a weak one.
Right. So Ramesha says that if you're just an employee and you want to dye your hair for the job, and you know that you're just as strong and healthy and robust as a younger person, Ramesha holds that it's mutan. A chiddush of Ramesha. But the underlying lumdus of Ramesha is that since at the end of the day, I'm not fooling him, because I'm delivering what he's expecting. I am that strong worker, even though I'm fooling him in the indications that he created for himself, because he bases it on color of hair, and I'm faking him out that he shouldn't rely on the color of hair. That's mutar, because what I'm ultimately giving him is a good product, as if I have dark hair.
But there's a difference. Maybe he wants Eved to last longer.
Right, so if then it's a problem. Then it will be a problem. You're right, then it will be a problem. So with that lumdus of Rav Moshe come out the same thing, but the diamonds. The fact that the buyer thinks there's a difference, but that's a mistake that the buyer has. The seller is delivering to the buyer a good diamond, just as good if it would be brand new. Maybe even a drop better, because this was already tested over time that it doesn't explode. But it's just as good as a brand new diamond. So therefore, it won't be a problem of a Geneva Dad if I do it. The only problem is there's another problem. Is by diamonds, besides the quality, there's the sentimental value. You know what that means?
Yes.
You want, if I would know that this diamond that represents my connection with my wife is what, Obama had with his wife, I would never touch that diamond. I don't want to have that zivug that he has. I want my personal connection with my wife. If I would know that, I would never touch it. There's nothing really wrong with the diamond, but it's psychologically, I wouldn't want that thing. Question is, can I do it? Because the whole problem is in his mind, psychological. To the extent he doesn't know, there's no problem. In English, there's an expression, ignorance is bliss. What he doesn't know can't harm him. If he doesn't know about it, his whole problem is in his mind. If he doesn't know about it, maybe it should be motan. I want to give you... If there's also a minhag that everyone does it, which there is, those who know it, then you're back to the smaz heta that the minhag is, that you're allowed to do it, because everyone knows not to rely on it. What happens is, another story, but it's two more stories, I'll let you go. Another story is, someone is trying to sell a product on eBay. And today, it's very difficult to compete, because what you do is eBay, already with one search, you can see that same exact product, it's classified, and you see 10 other people selling exactly for what price. And people are selling this recorder or whatever, this tchotchke, for $20. And I can't compete. So what do I do? True story, Rabbi. So what do I do? Is I instead of marketing it at $20, I market it 3 for $75. It works, because the computer doesn't pick up the price, because now it's only looking for other people sell it at 3 at a time. No one else sells it 3 at a time. And the implication of 3 at a time is I'm giving you a great deal because you're getting a wholesale bargain because you're buying 3 in bulk. You're buying 3 at a time. And that sells. If you try to sell it 1 for $21, you won't get a customer. Everyone's buying at 20. But you sell 3 for $75, no problem. You make business and business and business. So is that a problem of Gneva Dat? So, Lukari, in that case, there's no Gneva Dat because I didn't fool him at all. I'm telling you, it's 3 for $75. That's what I'm telling him for. If he wants, he should do his own research. What am I doing? Is I'm making it that it's not capable for him, or making it difficult for him to try to compare pricing. That's beseda. That's not a problem. Who hit es atzmo? He hurt himself.
It's
not
cheaper.
That's a different sugya. Not mamon. If it's a yid, a goy, that's a whole different sugya. Okay, Rabbi, true story. Now I'll let you go with this story. Napoleon fought the Battle of Waterloo, going back 200 years. Fought with the British, with Prussia. Baron Rothschild, everyone heard of Baron Rothschild? Okay, Baron Rothschild was very big into intelligence, into what's going on around the world. He had his pigeons and as his couriers. He was very up to date with current events, and based on that information, he was able to make millions. What did he do? He knew before anyone else knew that Napoleon lost the war against Britain. He had British stock, and everyone was looking at Baron Rothschild to see what will he do during the war. Will he buy? Will he sell? What he's buying? Because they knew that he has the most updated information. And what did he do? He decided he's starting to sell off his British stock, that people should think that the Britain lost and Napoleon won. And when they saw him selling off his British stock, everyone dumped their British stock on the market. The British stock market sort of crashed. It went, jumped all the way down. When it went down, the next day, he bought everything at cheap. And the next day, everyone found out Napoleon lost, British won, and he made millions and millions and millions of dollars. That was the story of Baron Rothschild. So, Rabotai, is that mutar or also?
Insider trading.
Bid New York. Is that mutar?
Is
that mutar or asur?
Nobody told the people to rely on him.
Okay.
He do the risk.
So I want to really break. I want to break the shaila into. I want to break the shaila up into two parts. Really, what happened in this story was two separate parts. The first part is that he sold British stock, fooling everyone to cause the market to crash. That's one thing he did, which was questionable. We could discuss. The second thing he did was questionable, is then he bought from everyone at low, because everyone thought that the British lost, Napoleon won, and because of that they sold to him, and he fooled them to think that, right, because of his game that he played, his reverse psychology, he fooled everyone to think that the British really lost, so therefore they would sell to him at very low. So really two parts to this question. So let's go back to the first part. To the first part of the question, that he sold the British stock and everything, you know, all of a sudden the market tanked. That, l'chayra, is mutar. I didn't ask you to follow me. I know you're going to follow me. I have no contractual relationship with you. I am not your seller. I am not your buyer. I'm not your employer. I'm not your employee. I have nothing to do with you. You're just relying on me. I didn't ask you to rely on me. You fooled yourself. I'm doing what I have to do to make money. And if you want to follow me, it's your fault. So you could apply the concept of who hit the esatzmi. The second step is a little more difficult to do that, because that's when he sold. But when he's buying, and he bought from Reuven, and the only reason Reuven sold to him at a loss, at a low, was because he sort of convinced Reuven that the British lost, so he's fooling Reuven, indirectly, a grama, but he's fooling Reuven to sell to him at a low. Right? Because they're relying on his information. So let's talk about inside trading. If I'm an inside trader and I sell and no one knows that I have inside information, so the fact that I know and no one else knows, that's my advantage. I didn't fool you. I didn't tell you it's worth this price. I didn't tell you it's worth more. I didn't tell you it's worth less. You think it's worth that price. That's what the market price is going for. I have access to information. That's my gain. You're lost, but I didn't cause that problem. But if I would be an inside trader, so to speak, that I fake you out to believe that, if I put out a report that the business is not going so well and therefore the stock lowers and I pick it up at a low and I know that the business is going well, so then I'm faking you out to sell it to me at a low. That's Gneva Dat. That's worse. So what he actually did, he accomplished to fake everyone out indirectly to end up selling to him back at a low. That might be a problem of Gneva Dat. All right, Rav Isaac.
So what's wrong?
I want to say it might be a problem. Okay, you might be different. Fine. So, right, so he was doing it, and he is, so on the first half that he's not party to this. Right, Rabotai, I just want to finish up. The sugya, I had a very enjoyable week. Baruch Hashem, the Olam was very into it with questions at Gevaldik. I saw the Olam was learning. Every time I came, I started to give shiur. Everyone's learning. No one's interested in shiur. Baruch Hashem. The Olam is mamish knacking in shiur. I enjoyed it. I hope that the Olam enjoyed it as well. Nekatod is a geshmak kesugya. Gneva Dat's geshmak kesugya. Truth be told, there's a lot more here. But what we can cap around in a week. I look forward to seeing you, Mirat Hashem, next year in Yerushalayim together.
For other shiurim by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.